funny to you that you almost skip laughing and you just start crying? Because I'm about there right now.
We're all freaks on the inside.
An acquired taste.
Part two, spooky stories.
You want to hear a spooky story, Bethany?
Mm-hmm.
You have a piece of quinoa in your hair.
No! Do I really?
Yeah, you do.
That sounds like a delicious story, not a spooky story.
Where is it?
It blends in with her hair, which is what the horror is. You could go all day without realizing.
I'm eating an entire side. Like, this container of quinoa is supposed to serve a family.
Yeah.
As, like, a side dish. But I needed lunch, and I brought it from home, and I didn't know what I was grabbing. I was just grabbing something out of the freezer. So I'm eating it because I'm starving.
And also, doesn't it look like it's supposed to be put with something?
No, it just needs, like, a little salsa. It's a perfect protein.
It is. And, Sam, you're correct. It is supposed to be put with something.
Right?
Like a main dish. But it is my... It is my lunch. A serving of four. It's my lunch.
We are an Acquired Taste podcast featuring quinoa today.
Yep.
I am Sam. I'm here with Kathleen.
Hello.
And Bethany.
What's up?
And we are unfortunately, apparently, due to popular demand, continuing on our Halloween kick because you bitches are masochistic and want to hear stories.
I'm so glad you guys like it.
I got a tweet today, or yesterday rather, from Allison Reyes. And she said, so I'm listening to the podcast at night, driving to my house on a farm surrounded by fields with no one home. Thanks.
Perfect. That's
in fairness,
perfect timing.
There was a disclaimer to make sure that wasn't the situation you were in. That one's not on us.
No, I think that one's on her for making a good choice as to where she is listening to this.
Hey, Allison, if you're still alive, please let us know.
Yeah. I hope no one came out and tried to slaughter you with a weapon, with a serial killer weapon.
What's the weapon, Bethany?
A bat with the nails in it.
Oh, okay.
And I hope Beyonce didn't just come out and try to slay you in general.
Hey, girl.
Actually, I do hope that.
Kathleen.
Well done,
ladies and gentlemen. All right.
Who wants to start this week?
I will.
All right.
Fabulous.
Hold on. Let me get the scare ready.
Yeah.
This is legitimately scary. And I was kind of freaking out just reading this email. This is from our listener, Chris. And he says to us, do you remember your dreams when you wake? I certainly do. Are your dreams ever so vivid you have trouble telling where the dream ended and reality began? I have been left at times to wonder. As a child, my father's work would take him away from home for days at a time, leaving me and my mother alone in the house. When I was very small, I would sometimes sneak into my mother's room and sleep. Late at night while my mother slept, I would curl up on the other side of the bed and suddenly I was aware of a spectral figure watching over us. The figure would float along the ceiling on the far side of the room watching over us. And sometimes it would just land in the corner. Although the figure was not fully formed, it always felt like a male presence was watching over us. And I would just lay in bed in the dark watching him, watching us. The figure would never appear when my mother was awake, only when she was sleeping. Then, sometimes when I drifted off to sleep, I would feel myself slipping away from my body and joining the figure on the ceiling. From that vantage point, I would watch my mother sleep and look down at my own sleeping body. At times, the figure would even cradle me in his arms as if he was holding me up so I would not slip down. Now, even 30 years later, I find myself filled with a peculiar combination of creepiness and comfort as I recount my story to you. Was it all real? Was it a product of a young, overactive mind? I will let you be the judge.
Oh.
Can I be the judge?
Yeah.
I think it was a product of drugs.
No,
he's 5 years old.
That's what that experience sounds like to me, though.
I think it's, I don't know if it's a dude or a woman. Do we know if it's a dude or a woman?
It's a man.
It's a man?
Yeah, his name is Chris.
I don't know if he's religious or not, but that sort of sounds like an angel situation.
That makes sense.
Oh.
That makes sense.
Like making sure that he was okay because he was so scared.
Being comfort. I wonder if there's like a figure in his life that had passed recently that wasn't ready to be without him.
Yeah, or could tell that he was freaked out and so wanted to sort of just watch over, make sure that... Since mom was asleep, that he was... Because if he only showed up when mom was asleep, it means that he was, like, making sure that someone was watching the kid.
Or maybe if he was very sick as a young baby, this angel was still with him.
Maybe.
Maybe it was cough syrup.
Maybe
it was Nicolas Cage.
It should always be Nicolas Cage. This comic relief is helping me.
Should I read this one?
Yes.
This one? Okay.
Hold on.
Yes. Okay. This is from Krista. Hey, ladies. I will start out by saying I'm a skeptic, but I swear to you this story is true and beats out all the other stories. I like how Krista is like really into the competition of it.
She's like, I don't believe in any of this, but this one.
Happy Halloween, I win.
We'll make you a believer.
My letter is the best letter of all the letters. Okay. Our old house in Wisconsin was built in the 1920s. I also lived in a house in Wisconsin that was built in the 1920s. I hope it's the same one. Right after we moved in, I started having nightmares almost nightly. They always involved my 2-year-old son's bedroom, which happened to be right above mine. The dreams always involved a little girl who was playful, not scary, and a scary man who was always in black and you could never see his face. I didn't think anything of the dreams because I just thought it was my mind getting used to our new house. Over the next few months, we had several friends over who also had little kids. Despite all of the toys being upstairs in my son's room, the kids would never play up there. They'd go up, then come back down and tell us they didn't like being up there. One time, I had a new friend over, and my friend and I went up there to keep the kids company. I'd never told this friend about my dreams involving the room because I thought I'd sound ridiculous and I didn't want to scare the kids or put thoughts into their head. It was the middle of a sunny day, the curtains were all open, and my friend turns and says, "Does this room give you a creepy feeling?" I just shook it off. Never shake it off!
Unless FYI. You're Taylor Swift.
Just don't ever shake that off. Okay. Within a year or so, my son started waking up at 1 a.m. every night screaming. One night, I woke up to hear him crying as usual through the baby monitor, but I could also hear giggling and movement coming from his room above me that were not coming from him.
Nope.
I froze.
Nope. Get out.
Then I heard my son say, "Leave me alone. I don't want to play."
Nope. Nope.
So despite being terrified, I ran up there to see what was happening. He said the little girl keeps pulling his blanket off and trying to get him to play. And the man in the corner is scaring him. I was never so scared in my life as I realized he was describing the little girl and man in my dream. Again, I'm a skeptic. I tried to rationalize in my mind how on earth he was describing my nightmares that he'd never heard about. I tried to assure him that it was just me and him in the room and there was nothing to be afraid of. He then said, "So you mean there's no man standing right behind you?" That was the beginning. I just got chills. That was the beginning of letting my son sleep in my bed. We sold the house as soon as we could, and I have not had any of those nightmares since. My son is now 8 and still remembers the man and little girl.
Wow.
No. Strong call on selling that house. And you're right. You do win Halloween because I just peed a little.
If your kid says, "He's right behind you." Nope. Mm-hmm. Mm-mm. I'm noping out of that so fast.
That's the equivalent of when a really hot girl in a horror movie is like, got out of the shower and the mirror is very steamed and she cleans it and there's a figure behind her.
You're like,
her.
There's always a figure behind her. You know it's about to come.
You know, there is an interesting story that happened in New Jersey last year and it just recently came to the surface again. If you buy a house that's haunted, there's not a lot of jurisdiction that you don't have the right to sue the people who sold it to you.
I think it's state by state on whether or not you have to disclose that the house is haunted.
So in New Jersey, this couple bought this house and a few days after owning it, they got this letter from The Watcher. All these letters were coming and we talked about this on The Big Show.
I remember.
And, you know, it was my grandfather has watched this house. My father watched this house. Now it's my turn. And the letters were pretty aggressive in terms of details that the family, nobody would have known unless they were really truly like someone was peering in the windows. And the family that bought the house sued the people that sold it to them because apparently they had been getting watcher letters too and didn't disclose it in the sale. And a judge threw the case out. Boop, boop.
So you're right. So
wait a minute.
Yeah. This is from
letters from a spirit, like no return address,
like someone,
no return address,
a stalker. That might not be a ghost though, right? That's like sounds like a gray area problem to me.
Yeah.
It's so this is from newjersey.com, nj.com.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, a mysterious stalker known only as the Watcher has sent a fourth threatening letter to a township home that arrived in February. This is from March of this year. Less than 3 weeks after a renter moved into the infamous home. So the owners of the six-bedroom house, within days, they bought the house in 2014. Within days, received the first letter from somebody identifying himself as the Watcher. Two more arrived in the following weeks, two of them asking if the owners had, quote, young blood. The owners who have children refused to move into the home.
So they were renting it out. They weren't living in the house.
So on February 7th, a man answered the door at the house and said he started renting it February 1st. The man, who would only give his name as Chris, indicated he had no concerns about the threats in the first three letters, saying they're not my issue. No one answered the door. They don't say anything about the fourth letter. I wonder what it says.
Yeah, but the case just recently was thrown out.
Oh, that my gosh. Seems,
okay, word to any homeowner. It would have been illegal, though, right, if he asked? Like, you can say straight up, just really quick, I know this sounds crazy, were there any murders or, like, suspicious activity in this house before? And if they say no, then that's lying. That's like saying the oven works when it doesn't.
Yeah.
So then you have a case on your hands.
I think you also, the onus is on the buyer to also research the home.
I think
if somebody, and again, not to blame the victim, but, like, I think to... You should Google search. I think anybody who Googled this address, the stories would probably have popped up. Would that stop you, Sam, from moving into a house if you knew that this house had received letters from the Watcher before?
Girl, you know that I wouldn't even need to say goodbye. I would just walk the hell out.
What Kathleen? If it's your dream home?
No.
I would live in it, I think.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No! No!
It's your dream home.
I don't care. It turned into a nightmare home. Laying on the right
it
there.
It has columns.
I don't need it. I don't want your haunted columns and your witchcraft and your Watchers. I just want a good night's sleep in my peaceful home.
It has its own Zen garden. The only trade-off is that there's a pentagram sketched into the basement floor.
I will bring my own Zen garden in my second dream home.
All right.
I would definitely have a system of cameras set up so I could be sure, but I think I would live there.
I think
yeah,
I would
but
too.
Like that would just show you the hauntings happening. That doesn't mean you could do anything about
it. It's a beautiful home.
Haven't really you pretty. Seen any of the 9 Paranormal Activity movies?
Yes, they made great movies. Now you have all this found footage.
Yeah.
You can get yourself a Blockbuster.
You can't do anything about it. You're just watching the horror unfold in your living room.
Making the money. Make that money, Sam.
I'm not with
letters.
You guys.
It's just letters.
It starts as
it's just letters.
Letters.
It's just letters. It's just
letters. Letters.
Of letters
is the first 20 minutes of any horror movie.
All right, what's your email?
Fine.
Agree to disagree.
I'm so upset about
maybe
this
is the topic of next week. We were looking for a combative podcast topic for next week.
We're not fighting.
Back to me.
I'm not yelling.
I'm yelling.
I'm not mad at you.
This is from Amanda. All right, I really did not like this email. And I think you guys will. So this all happened in the span of a couple years when I was in high school, still living in my childhood home. My parents' house was built in the mid-1920s, and we were the fourth or fifth family to live in that house. Just like all old houses, my childhood home is notoriously loud. Everything squeaks, creaks, and settles. And when you spend your entire childhood in one house, you learn its sounds. You can even tell the difference between the sound of someone going up the stairs and someone going down the stairs. One night, my mom was home alone and heard the very distinct sound of footsteps walking up the stairs. She was in the kitchen, and from the kitchen, you can see the landing of the staircase, but not the actual staircase itself. No one ever actually appeared on the landing, but she heard the footsteps going up and then down. Up and then down. They were so vivid, she was convinced someone had broken in. She ran out of the house, went to the neighbors, and called the police. When they showed up, there was no sign of a break-in at all. All of the windows were closed, and the first and second floor doors were locked. Another time, my mom was home alone, and she was in the den and heard a huge crash of what sounded like broken glass. She said she was sure it came from the dining room, but when she looked there and all around the house, not a thing was out of place. During the same period all these weird activities were happening, she started to wake up in the middle of the night for absolutely no reason. But each time she awoke, she would smell a very strong coffee brewing smell in the house, as if someone were making a fresh pot just downstairs. She'd wake up in the morning every time, and there was nothing out of sorts. I had similar experiences with the sound of someone on the stairs when I was home alone, and I just ran out, just like my mom. Also, my bedroom is directly under my brother's bedroom, which is a refinished attic. I know the sound of his footsteps as he'd walk up and down while I was falling asleep in my room my entire life. I'd listened to those footsteps for years. On multiple occasions, I heard his footsteps above my head when I was in bed at night, only to realize he wasn't home that evening. The last encounter anyone had with our unidentified spirit, I will never forget. I was a senior in high school, the last one to go to sleep in the house for the night. My older brother was away at college, and my younger brother was only 13. He was already asleep, as were my parents. However, my parents' bedroom door was left open, and I could see the glow from their TV in the cracks of my closed door. I had just gone to bed, pulled up the covers, put my glasses on the nightstand, and turned off my light when I saw my bedroom door open slowly. In the TV's glow, I could see the shadow of a grown man. He was of average height, seemingly bald, and had glasses on, but I couldn't be sure. It was strange just how distinct the shadow was for someone who didn't have her glasses on. I looked up from my pillow and said, "Dad?" No response. "Chris?" No response. At that point, the shadow slowly pulled the door closed without a word, and I convinced myself it was my dad, who is slightly paranoid and would come check on me multiple times during the night. I threw the covers over my head and stayed that way until morning. When I described what I saw to my mother, she said she didn't want to say anything before because she didn't want to scare me and my brother, but knew that the man that lived in the house before us had died inside the house. We were convinced it must have been him, and he is in fact friendly and means us no harm. He was a very nice person, according to the people who lived in the neighborhood at the same time as him, and we kept waiting for him to show up again, but standing in my doorway was the last time anyone had heard from him. I don't know if he just wanted us to know it was him or that he was still around. Maybe after my mom identified him, all activity stopped. I'm not sure. It's been about 10 years since anything had happened. My parents still live in the house and always will. And my mom still refers to him as our friendly ghost.
I think it's easier when you can identify who the ghost is.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Because what if he just wanted recognition?
Yeah.
He's a sad friendly ghost.
Yeah. Like he... Yeah, he's just checking on her, making sure she's good. Friendly ghosts are good. Or maybe it's like we talked about last week, it's a residual haunting. So it's just somebody going through the motions that they used to go through. It's not actually intelligent. It's just...
And something broke that chain.
Yeah, it's just like it's an imprint of their energy.
I just can't think of dealing with the sounds.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Like, I don't know what would scare me more. Seeing him come in very peacefully and then leave, or to be like washing a dish in my kitchen sink and hear like that...
Uh-huh.
Up the stairs, and then no one else is home.
Yeah.
No.
I would probably get animals so you could blame the sounds on the animals.
It is very helpful to have
what?
Pets. To have
yeah.
pets.
Oh, okay.
You can blame the sound on.
Yeah, because when you hear something strange in the middle of the night, you don't think too much about it as opposed to if you didn't have any animals in the house.
Right. Like, I had something knock over in my apartment, but nothing ever was knocked over. I just heard a crash, but then nothing had crashed.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just like, I'm just going to assume one of the kittens crashed something that I have not yet found.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because there was nothing out of place.
You have the benefit of two cats as mm-hmm. well, which means if you look to your left and one of them are sitting there, mm-hmm. you just get to blame the other one.
Sure, the other one did something.
Where it was a ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Does this ever happen to you guys? Sometimes when I'm napping or, you know, coming just out of that sleep state or just settling into that sleep state, I will hear my name.
No.
Oh.
Do you ever hear
no.
somebody calling your name when no. there's nobody home?
No.
That happens to me sometimes.
I wonder if that's an errant brain synapse going off because your brain is doing some weird stuff as you're falling asleep.
That's true, but also ghosts and spirits contact you when you're asleep.
This is true, and you're more susceptible to like information from the other side when mm-hmm. you're like in that in-between state.
Yeah, I always am like wondering if I have like a special portal to that in-between state that I can control, because in our dream episode, I told you guys that I can wake myself up in a dream and then put myself back into that dream.
Which
put
is
my
crazy.
Back
kinda
to sleep.
Like a superpower of yours.
I wonder if I have access to this like other realm that I haven't yet tapped into yet.
Have you ever answered when someone says your name?
sometimes I'll wake up, mm-hmm. I'll jolt around, and I just assume that it was a fluke.
Next time, see if you answer if something happens.
Yeah.
Someone's like, Kathleen, just go, yes.
She's so calm about this.
Yeah.
No.
Sam.
Bethany.
If I answer without waking myself up, mm-hmm. like I stay in that state.
Yeah. I bet. Oh, I bet it's like Silent Hill. I bet you'll just go to another place.
I hope so.
Mm-hmm. P.S. Do you guys want to go to Centralia, Pennsylvania with me?
Sure.
Okay, maybe. What's there?
The city is burning from beneath.
Absolutely not.
Awesome. Absolutely yes.
Hooray.
What is that?
What
it
is
was
that?
It was the inspiration for Silent Hill. It was there's a mine fire underneath Centralia where it started decades ago and it's been burning. They say it'll burn for another gajillion years.
I
it's
just teared up. No, I
yeah,
don't want
so
to
there are parts
with
of the
you.
Highway. I think the there's like... something like 7 people live there now, and it's the part of the highway had to be closed because it was crumbling due to burning, and there are parts of the town where you'll just see smoke coming up from beneath because it's burning under the whole town. So it's a ghost town now, but you can still go to it. People go. And
did people die in the start of this thing?
I don't know.
Okay.
But it's just creepy.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Yeah, and there's a church in the city that looks like the church from the Silent Hill movie. Have you guys seen that movie?
Of course not.
No.
I'm thinking of The Hills Have Eyes.
No, different. Uh-huh. So the Silent Hill movie is based on the video games, but there's this church where when the sirens go off, you have to run and get into the church as quickly as possible because it saves you from, you know... Pyramid Head or whatever comes. So,
oh, that's the Pyramid Head video game?
Yeah.
Oh,
so,
no.
So there's a church in Centralia, Pennsylvania, where the stairs are the same stairs, and it's this big, white, tall structure that looks very similar to the one in the movie. It's very creepy.
Let's go.
Let's go, day trip.
Okay.
Can we stop at the King of Prussia Mall?
Absolutely. In fact, you know what? Let's stop there, and you bitches can pick me up on your way back.
Cool. So all three of us will go to Centralia together.
Sure. We will stop at the Mall of Prussia, and then we will discuss.
There's a great Lily Pulitzer.
Oh, fantastic.
Yes.
This now sounds like my dream trip.
If you need to stock up on flamingos.
I'm going to be there.
The fire's been burning since 1962.
That's insane.
How long could that baby go?
I
wonder what that does for the housing values.
Plummets.
Yikes. Let's check that out.
All right. You want to read one, Kathleen?
Sure. This one is from Savannah. Savannah is our friend from Virginia. We talk to her on Twitter a lot.
I love Savannah.
She called into the big show not that long ago.
She's wonderful. Mm.
She goes, my grandma and grandpa's house is haunted AF.
I like how you're trying to make that scary.
There was always weird things that would happen in the house. For instance, when I was 10, I stayed with them overnight. And I slept on the couch, which was across from the room that had a door to the basement. I was woken in the middle of the night by the basement door opening. I opened my eyes and saw a little girl walk downstairs.
Yep.
I got up and went to look down the stairs, but there was nobody there.
Savannah, never investigate.
Would you guys go follow a ghost down into the basement?
It's never a little girl.
Savannah, you know, come on. Come on.
When there was no one there.
Bethany's prosecuting on her podcast.
When there was no one there, I figured that maybe I was just seeing things. I stayed over again, and the same thing happened. But this time, I got a better look at her. She was small, and she had her hair in pigtails, and was wearing a knee-length blue dress. I wasn't afraid of her, though. She seemed like she was just lost. I asked my grandma about it the next morning, and she told me the girl's name is Allison. The street that the house was on was actually named after her. Allison was killed when she was 7, and she had been playing on the train tracks behind the house when the train came. Her father found her and took her to the house and tried to get help, but she died in the house. She wasn't the only ghost, though. In 2006, my grandpa was murdered by a man believed to be his best friend.
Jeez.
Holy mackerel. At the time that he was murdered, my grandma and grandpa were separated at the time. But this happened a few years after he died. I again was staying the night at my grandma's house, and I felt somebody touch my face and say they were sorry.
Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God.
I opened my eyes and no one was there. It didn't feel like Allison this time. She never touched or really interacted with anyone. And I got up and I walked down the hallway and I stopped dead in my tracks because I saw my grandpa pass by my grandma's doorway. I told my grandma the next morning and she said that she had felt him kiss her and that she saw him walk back out of the room.
No!
Oh my gosh.
It's oddly comforting knowing that my grandpa is still there. I feel his spirit there sometimes, and I've seen a lot of ghosts in my life, but thankfully none of them have ever been bad or threatening.
Ooh, holy Savannah, miracle. This story.
Okay, so here's the odd thing. I was listening to another podcast, and I don't remember which one it was, and now it's going to drive me crazy, and they were reading listener ghost stories, and one of them was about two old men who were best friends, and one of them killed the other.
Oh my God, Savannah,
so
please let us know.
So I'm wondering if it's like the other person's grandfather who did the
murder,
killed, wrote in, and Savannah's is the one from the other side of the story.
Holy
How
crap!
Weird.
It was either
Surface it.
I'm working on it. It was either My Favorite Murder, a minisode, or it was Beyond the Darkness, I Know a Murderer. One of those two, but it's like triggering something for me, so I wonder if those are the same stories.
Or maybe Savannah wrote in twice, wrote in another
podcast.
The
other person's was My Grandfather Killed His Best Friend.
Oh,
yeah.
Gosh.
Oh my gosh, Savannah, first of all.
Right? She has Whoa. Every element here. It started with the little girl that disappeared and then ended with her own grandfather's
Wow.
spirited existence.
Well, I'm glad that your grandmother got comforted by that whole thing, because what a horrible thing to go through. Your whole family, my goodness.
That one moment, though, is ultimately beautiful to feel like I felt him kiss me.
You get a little bit of closure that way. It's tough when somebody is murdered.
Oh, God.
Do you guys have anyone in your life that, I know it's not always how it works, but if you could be contacted by a family member, not who you would choose, but what family member do you feel like would be contacting you?
The one who would be most likely to?
Yeah.
That's a great question.
My grandma.
Probably. You think grandma? Think?
Yeah.
That's beautiful for like lovely reasons. Like your just connection was so strong.
Yeah. My grandma was a saint. And I feel her with me sometimes. And every time I get a parking spot, I say, hey, thanks, grandma.
Awesome. I like that.
What about you, Sam?
I feel like I was contacted once in a dream, and I think we spoke about this on one of our earliest episodes, like our own ghost experience ones. I feel like a friend from middle school of mine who had committed suicide, which was like the worst thing you have to deal with at that age when you didn't even really know what it meant.
Yeah.
I was so wondering where he was, and he came to me in a dream, and it was a silent dream, and he just gave me a really long hug, and in my dream, I knew he was passed, so I think it would be him because of that element of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I don't know how to phrase this, you know, but just someone who took their own life leaves certain kinds of questions.
Yeah.
So I was very active about asking those, so I feel like it would be him to help soothe the answers.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
That's the best wording can put on it.
That makes sense.
Right?
That makes sense. Yeah.
All right. Let's suck another one out, shall we?
Okay. Hi, ladies. This is Anna from South Dakota, originally from Wisconsin. Shout out to my fellow cheesehead, Bethany. What's up, Anna? This is my 100% true scary story. I grew up on a small farm in Wisconsin, which happened to be located across the street from a cemetery. Rock and roll.
Oof.
My friends and I spent a lot of time walking through it and looking at the old graves or conducting seances in an attempt to connect with the spirits. We were always disappointed when nothing paranormal happened.
Ooh, that sounds fun.
I know, me too. I was never frightened of the cemetery until one snowy night in January changed everything. My father worked overnight shifts at a factory, so at 7 p.m., he kissed us all goodbye and headed to work. The snow had just begun to fall as we watched the taillights of his truck disappear down the dark country road. My siblings and I had school in the morning, so I brushed my teeth and went to my room, which was located on the first floor. My curtains were open, and I could see the cemetery across from the street slowly turn white as the snow began to fall harder. I was startled awake by the doorbell ringing. I sat up and looked at my clock and saw it was after midnight. I sat there trying to figure out if I had been dreaming when the doorbell started ringing again. But this time, it rang several times in a row as if someone was frantically pressing the button. Nope. I realized my curtains were open and the front door was right next to my window, so I quickly left my room. I ran into my mom, who was standing in the living room looking just as confused as I was. The ringing stopped suddenly, and we both quietly stood there staring at each other. All of a sudden, we heard loud, aggressive pounding on the front door. It went on for at least a minute. My mom ran for her phone and dialed 911. We were both too afraid to look outside and see who was there, so we sat in the windowless laundry room while we waited for the police to arrive. The pounding abruptly stopped, and all we heard was a deafening silence. The police arrived a short time later. By this time, there was at least 2 inches of fresh snow on the ground. My mom explained to the officers what had happened, and the officers proceeded to check our yard and other surroundings for the culprit. They figured someone had maybe gotten stuck in the snow and was looking for help. A short time later, the officers came back and told us they found some odd footprints. They explained that the footprints began across the street in the cemetery, but they didn't seem to come from anywhere. The officer said the footprints just appeared in the middle of the cemetery and continued across the road, up our driveway, and straight up to our front door. The officer then showed us 2 large boot-shaped footprints directly on our front step, which they believed belonged to whoever had been pounding on our door earlier that night. And this is where the footprints ended. There were no footprints leaving back down the driveway, no tire marks in the snow that indicated a car had been there, just the footprints leading from the cemetery up to our front door. The officers checked the inside and outside of our house again, but found nothing. The next morning, I walked out of the house to catch the school bus and looked over at the footprints from last night. I noticed there was a second set of footprints right next to the first set. The second set of footprints came from the cemetery and up our driveway, just like the first set, but instead of going to our front door, they went directly up to my bedroom window. I walked over to my window, and that's when I noticed the 2 smudged handprints and a forehead print on the glass left behind by whoever was looking in my window the night before.
No. Absolutely not.
Oh, mother.
Okay.
Oh, Anna.
I don't like you at all, Anna. Why you do this
Anna.
To me?
That would make an excellent short film.
Anna,
girl, if this was fake and you made it up just to scare the crap out of us, I am so upset with you.
Well done.
She has a future in writing if she made that up.
I'm curious why the footprints, so it must have stopped snowing.
Sorry, this makes me feel better.
Because the footprints were still there even though it was snowing, so my guess is it had stopped snowing and then the footprints happened. Why didn't the police
see was someone just hanging out in the cemetery and then it started snowing, so then they walked out?
She said 2 inches had fallen.
Yeah.
So that's pretty deep.
That's deep.
The person in the cemetery, let's say it's not a spirit and it was a wanderluster, would have had to be in the cemetery for like, what, an hour, depending on how hard it was snowing, and then decide to walk? Was he like crouched on a tombstone or something?
And why didn't the police see the second set of footprints walking up to the window?
Oh, God.
Did that come later?
That must have been later.
No! 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 The musical.
Oh, my God. That's amazing. All right, Sam, your turn.
No.
Wait, pause for a second.
Yes.
You guys are sitting on your couch.
Yep.
You're just watching TV. The volume's on, not all that loud. And there's pounding on the front door.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do?
Nothing. I hide.
We're talking about the minute-long pounding she experienced?
Yes.
I'd immediately also call 911.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know what else to do.
Yeah. Run, hide, fight. I would run, and then I would hide, and then I would call 911.
If it's a spirit, you're screwed. It doesn't matter what you do, you are screwed if it's a spirit. It's whatever they want to do. And if it's a person, I'd be too afraid that they could see someone's home by me covering the peek hole lights.
Yep.
Like, just the change of light for them would mean, oh, somebody's home.
Yep, and then they know where to shoot.
Bethany, where, like, the best thing to do is hide. Like, I wouldn't try and look out the window.
Never look in a peephole. They can tell.
Wait, what?
Because there is the change. If you're on the outside of the peephole,
yeah,
especially if there's a light on inside, when you look, when the person looks into the peephole, you see that light disappear, so you know their head is there, so you know where to shoot.
So but you have to pretend you're not home if it's a real person, mm-hmm. which well, is what who you're supposed to be most afraid of.
Then why do peepholes even exist?
I don't. They're a flawed system
for takeout. Not for murder.
Yeah, they're for hotel rooms when you're waiting for the room service to come.
They tell me if I need to put on pants or if it's just one of you guys coming over.
Never look through a peephole. I learned that from a Janet Jackson music video.
Wait, what?
I learned I could dance with a cat from one once.
Wait, what?
I'm a real cat.
What are you guys talking about?
There's a Janet Jackson music video where it's, but it's not about killers. It's about she has a lover across the hallway and she, it's. I don't think it's That's the Way Love Goes. I think it's something else, but like, she, like, he comes home, he closes the door, and he looks back through his peephole, and he sees her peephole, like, go dark and then mm-hmm. go light again. And so he knows that she knows that he's home or something like that. So then that's how I learned it.
Oh, wait, no, mine wasn't Janet Jackson. It was Paula Abdul.
Oh, yeah.
My bad.
DJ Scat Cat.
Yeah.
All right.
I never knew that
Kathleen's
about peepholes.
Mind is blown.
Yeah, don't ever look through them.
Yeah, you are not safe if you look through a peephole. And the same thing if you move the curtains. Mm-hmm. It's letting them know someone's home. Like the movie Strangers.
Never seen it.
Ooh, Bethany, you would like this.
Yeah, never look through. Never look. Just assume it's the killer and take action accordingly.
You're only in danger from people if they know someone's home.
Yep.
Unless they want to rob you and then they're coming in.
I'm gonna put a piece of duct tape over my freaking peephole now.
Yeah, just don't. Yeah, you just don't.
There's that. I feel like we've hit a good spot.
Yes.
I feel like I don't need to be that scared again.
Really?
I don't know that there's anything coming down from that last one.
Okay. Should we say what we learned this week?
Yeah.
Yes. I forget. I'm scared. I'm diarrheal. I don't know.
I'm diarrheal.
I'm so upset right now. My stomach hurts.
Don't be upset. It's all in fun. Unless it's real. Kill, kill, kill. Kill, 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 kill.
Bethany, what did you learn this week?
So first of all, I learned that eating a lot of quinoa mm-hmm. is going to put a brick in your stomach.
Quinoa?
Like, just like right above... Like right above your stomach, like right, like where you're
in your diaphragm,
like right in your diaphragm. I have a big, big chunk of quinoa sitting on my diaphragm.
Isn't it supposed to be good for digestion?
Well, not if you eat a 4-person serving.
It's a perfect protein.
Yeah.
For one person. She's burping the entire episode. Like we're cutting out burps the entire episode.
You need to leave them in.
Oof. No, it's bad. It's bad. It's bad. It's bad.
She doesn't fart. It has to come out somewhere.
Oof. Oof.
Sorry.
Okay. I learned, stop.
She's blushing now.
Sorry. I hate that.
It's not that bad.
Oof, Chinese food. Ooh.
Stop.
That was weird.
I feel like we're bullying now. I'm sorry, Bethany.
Stop.
She's
it,
blushing.
Bethany. Stop it.
What'd you learn, sweetheart?
I don't know.
Sweet fart.
I don't know. What did I learn?
Do you want to go next?
Yep.
Okay. I can tell you what I learned.
Okay.
I had it a second ago.
Okay. I will go.
Go.
I will go.
God.
If you are a quick fixer person like I am, I often need a fast fix for something in my apartment, whether it be a hole in the floor or a leak somewhere. There is such a thing as clear duct tape, guys.
What?
Yes. I had duct tape all over my apartment, holding up shades, holding the fridge together. And it just, I looked like a garbage apartment. Like,
yeah.
It was not good.
Yeah.
It's called frat house. So I went on Amazon and I found clear duct tape. And now I have clear duct tape holding everything together. And you can't even tell.
Wait, but duct tape is created with intersecting threads.
Mm-mm.
So are they clear intersecting threads?
Clear intersecting threads. The whole thing is clear.
It's brilliant, really.
Yeah,
she was bragging about this earlier, and I think it's like applaudable. It's amazing.
That's amazing.
Yep.
I know.
Where does one acquire this product?
You go to Amazon.com. It's a website you may have heard of.
Yeah.
And type in clear duct tape.
Amazing.
And it's not D-U-C-K like I thought for years.
No.
That's the brand, but not a kind.
D-U-C-T. Yes. Duct.
They used to tape multiple ducks together.
They did.
And the name was born.
Yep.
Okay, I remembered what I learned.
What did you learn this week?
I learned, and this is important for this time of year, especially if you have a makeup heavy costume for Halloween.
See?
You have to get a remover that is for thick makeup because I wear everyday makeup every day and I use my Lush Ultra Blend to get it off and it's wonderful. It's no problem. It's beeswax based, so it gets off really quickly. I went to our friend Dina Kiss and Makeup to do a Halloween makeup tutorial for like 4 looks coming soon if I can ever figure out how to edit this video. and she made me a skull for one of them, so I had full face makeup, and then I took my makeup remover, despite the fact that she handed me makeup remover, and I washed my face, and I came up looking like the moon. Mm-hmm. Like, I thought I was done washing my face, and I looked up, and instead of the black and white skull, it was just a shade of blue-gray perfectly caked over my entire face.
Which is a whole other look in its own.
Dina took a picture. I started panicking, because the more you did, like, it didn't come off. It was just still the same blue. I started to panic. So don't mess with that stuff. Get a legit makeup remover that's for thick caked on makeup and figure out how to do it.
I love it.
I'm going to post a photo. It was bad. Dina lost her crap. I was like crying.
This is not funny. Help me.
Shout out to one of our favorite brands, It Cosmetics.
Yeah.
Because they have a makeup remover that almost looks like the consistency of coconut oil.
Ooh.
And I use that exclusively for my eye makeup, which is often thicker than the rest of my face makeup because it's awesome.
Yeah.
So maybe you guys should look into It Cosmetics makeup remover.
Fabulous.
Or Costco has really good wipes.
Really?
Yeah. Costco makeup wipes.
Because the stuff that is for Halloween makeup is cheaply made because it's not for everyday makeup.
Oh, I see.
So that's like the industrial stuff. Mm. Like that's like borderline bleach your face kind of stuff.
Turpentine.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome.
What'd you learn this week?
I learned this week that if you are really, really stressed out and you just need something to... your brain is too dumb to do anything at this point and you're just exhausted. If you go on YouTube and you look up either lathe videos of people like turning legs for a table or making bowls on a lathe, it's so relaxing.
That's like that tool that will
it spins.
Yes.
I've never heard the word lathe in my life.
Yeah, L-A-T-H-E. So, and there are entire YouTube channels of just people working on lathes, and it's like there's one I tweeted a while ago, and it's like this industrial lathe, and there's no lie, a tree trunk on it that they put between the two posts, and then they start, and so it's like the long way, right? So it's like a corn on the cob.
Yes.
That's what it's like. Yeah. Corn on the cob.
That sounds soothing.
The machine holds it like a corn on the cob handles.
Yes.
And then it spins really fast. And then you take like a chisel or a tool and you just go from the top to the bottom. As it's spinning, you're shaving off pieces of wood and it's perfectly even because it's spinning. It is amazing to watch. It's so satisfying. It's so relaxing. I just friggin' love it.
Love it.
I love it. And the other thing to watch if you're really stressed out is videos of... Nate wants to snag a Zico. Yes, you can have one.
Tell him no.
I'm giggling.
It's just for the reaction.
I'm giggling now because I'm thinking of a parody video of you lathing something. Is that a verb?
Sure.
Okay. With like a Patrick Swayze ghost like thing happening behind you.
It's like the woodworking version of a potter's wheel. Yeah. Yes. And the other thing to watch is just baby goats playing
all the time.
Because all they do is jump and bounce. And don't watch adult goats climbing because it will stress you out because you think they're going to fall off the side of a mountain.
Mm-hmm.
But baby goats jumping onto things is just hilarious because they don't give a
It's like there's springs in those feet.
It's like their friend falls down, they're going to jump off of him. It's hilarious.
Parkour. Baby goats are in constant parkour mode.
Parkour.
Oh, here's the picture, by the way. Here's the skull makeup.
Amazing.
She did a great job. Ready? I'm feeling so clearly chic. And then I go to wash it off and it's not working. And no bitches will help me.
You look like a zombie.
Sam, just, oh my God.
Get it off.
Oh my goodness.
I came out in borderline tears.
Dude, okay.
And then Dina snapped a picture. I'm like, I don't want my picture taken right now.
I don't mean to be rude, but you look so ugly in that picture.
You look like a little Italian version of Frankenstein.
Yes. It's what even is that color? How does black and white equal this color?
So ugly. And I love you and you're beautiful, but that shade of gray on you is not doing it.
I don't know what it is.
Oh my God.
But it's your facial expression too. If you don't post that somewhere,
I'm going to kill you.
You're really robbing the world of a good laugh.
I'm going to post it on that Acquired Taste podcast when this episode goes up.
Oh my God.
Trust
That's
me,
amazing.
The end product is fantastic. She did a great job. I told her, she goes, what happened? I was like, I used my makeup remover and I rubbed my face. And she goes, oh, you rubbed.
Oh, you rubbed.
Never rub.
Never rub.
Oh, that's what we all learned this week.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for everybody who sent in your emails. That's amazing. Thank you so much.
A lot of them had to be cut down, unfortunately, which sucked, but we had to do this for time. So a lot of you guys, they're like holes in your stories, and I'm really personally sorry for that, but we had to cut things out of everyone because of time.
But you guys are rock stars, and we love the support. We love that you love this.
Next week will not be Halloween.
Correct.
Sorry.
Unless we have to.
No.
Okay.
I don't need this in my life anymore.
All right.
All right. We love you very much.
Rate and subscribe. Give us 5 stars on iTunes, please. We would love it.
Yes. Thank you. Write to us on Twitter, Acquired Podcast.
And send us out emails of what you want us to talk about so we don't have to supply our own problems, which becomes increasingly embarrassing.
Yeah.
We're
on Instagram at Acquired Taste Podcast.
AcquiredTastePodcast.com, Facebook, Acquired Taste Podcast.
What's our email again?
AcquiredTastePodcast@gmail.com.
I'll never remember that.
Ding.